pretty long.
In the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is describing the system of Ashtanga Yoga, by which practicing one learns the art of fixing one's mind and senses on the supreme object of meditation, the Supreme Lord who is dwelling within the heart of all living beings. Krishna begins the sixth chapter of Gita by telling Arjuna that he who is a renunciate is not one that does no work or lights no fire, but one who performs his work in a spirit of devotion. Sometimes people accuse spiritual organizations of creating a very disturbing element within society by taking good, worthy, qualified people away from their trades and occupations and engaging them in very impractical activities such as devotion to God. But Krishna describes that real yoga does not mean to renounce one's duty, but real yoga means to fix one's mind and senses on Krishna in whatever particular field of life we may be working. But the key to the success of yoga is controlling the mind. Krishna says in the Gita, sixth chapter, Bandhuratmatmanastasya yenatmai vatmanachata anatmanastasatrate varate tamaiva satravat. That for the mind that is controlled, that mind is your best friend. But for the mind that is uncontrolled, your very mind is your worst enemy. Now, what does it mean to control the mind? Krishna describes that one must control the lower self with the higher self. Lower than the mind is the senses, and higher than the mind is the intelligence. If the mind becomes a victim to following the dictations of the senses, then your mind is your worst enemy. But if your mind is willing to accept the dictation of higher intelligence, your mind is the best friend. Now the next quote, natural question is, what is our higher intelligence? The higher intelligence is very simple to understand. The higher intelligence is the word of Guru and Krishna. People think their higher intelligence means their own discriminatory faculties to decide what is right and what is wrong. The real higher intelligence is the word of God, as it is coming through the Shastra and as it is coming through the Guru. That is why Krishna says, Vyavashayatmaka budhir ekeha kuru nandana bahusha kahyanantascha budhayo vyavashayana. That those who are on this path, they are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. But those who are not on this path, their intelligence is many-branched. So therefore, it is very simple. When we have Guru, and we have the scripture, and we have the great sadhus, then to control our mind simply means to accept the authority of their words. And to guess, to speculate, or to think otherwise is making friends with your worst enemy, your mind. Now sometimes Maya, she sends demons into your mind, and they disguise themselves to be your very close, well-wishing friends. If we do not have higher authorities to help us discriminate, then the worst demon, the worst enemy, is the enemy that remains undetected, that appears to be our friend. There is a story in the Srimad Bhagavatam which describes how this sometimes happens. One time, as described by Shukadev Goswami, Lord Sri Krishna and his friends, they were playing games in the pasture grounds of Vrindavan. They would have so many fun games that they would play. Sometimes they would play with balls. Sometimes they would run, having races, who would be the first to touch Krishna. Sometimes they would imitate the animals, like the frogs and the monkeys and the peacocks. In this way, every day the cowherd boys would have very much fun in the groves of Brajadham. One day they were playing a special game. In this game, the cowherd boys divided up into three sections. One section played the role of lambs. Another section played the role of thieves. And the goal of the thieves was to catch the lambs. And the third section of cowherd boys played the role of police constables. And their particular role was to catch the thieves who were stealing the lambs. In this way, they were having good fun, like children do. But of course, it was not an ordinary game, because the heart of all of their activities was to please Krishna. You see, when children of this world play games, they compete with the idea that they want to win so that they can be the enjoyer. Is this not correct? And usually the games end up in getting in fights. Do you remember when you were children? You play nice games. I'm thinking, I will have fun. But as you get absorbed in the game, you realize, if I win, I'll have fun, but if I lose, I'll be miserable. So therefore, it usually ends up in a fight over who's going to win, or an argument. But you see, in Vrindavan, it is not like that. Because nobody is concerned with winning or losing. Everyone is simply concerned with giving pleasure to Krishna. They would simply play these wonderful games just as an opportunity and a chance to give pleasure to Krishna. And sometimes it would give pleasure to Krishna to lose, and sometimes it would give pleasure to Krishna to win. And at the same time, Krishna's only motivation was to give pleasure to his friends. He was not concerned with his own pleasure. He simply wanted his friends to enjoy. And if it took losing to make his friends enjoy, he would purposely lose. And if it would take winning to make his friends enjoy, he would win. So win or lose, Everyone was happy because Krishna was satisfied. Of course, that is how our relationships amongst each other should be in Krishna consciousness. In the process of engaging in our particular activities in devotional service, it is like playing so many games. This material world, so many games you have to play to get anything done. Sometimes, when we are in material consciousness, we become envious of one another. We start competing with one another. We become disturbed when someone else is doing better. We become disturbed when we're not doing good enough. But like the cowherd boys of Brajadham, we should simply learn how to engage in our daily activities, play the games of this world for the pleasure of Krishna. Then, whether you are a success or a failure, whether you win or lose, you will be happy. Why? Because you have made Krishna happy. Atapum bird vijasrestas varanashvama vibhagasha shvanustatasya dharmasya samsadhir haditoshana. The only purpose, the only goal, the only motivation of the life of a devotee is simply to please Krishna. And how do we please Krishna? By accepting the will of Krishna. By accepting the authority of those souls who are propagating the will of Krishna. It is very simple. That is why Krishna said, those who are on this path, their aim is one. Simply to execute the order of Guru. Simply to execute the order of the great souls. It's not a question of right or wrong. It is a question of pleasing the great souls. You please Krishna. If you please Krishna, your life is a perfect chakra. He's perfect. If you fail to please Krishna, even if you're right and you do everything, just victorious overall, you have failed. So in this way, the cowherd boys would be playing in the fields of Vrindavan. It is described that sometimes they would have wrestling matches. And sometimes Krishna would lose. How is that possible? Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eku bahunam yovidadati kaman. It is said there is one supreme soul, Krishna, and all others are subordinate and totally dependent on him eternally. So how is it that he loses to his own part and parcel? To give pleasure to his part and parcel, he loses. This is also an exhibition of his complete, full opulence of renunciation. Sometimes he takes the shoes of his devotees, like Nanda Maharaj, and carries it on his head as the humble servant. How is it that the supreme master of all creation, who all the demigods are constantly chanting hymns to glorify, who all the yogis and sages surrender all their lives in obedience to, how is it that such a great supreme personality is accepting the position of taking the shoes of his devotee on his head? It is because Krishna's only motive is to give pleasure to his devotees, and his devotee's only pleasure is to give pleasure to Krishna. So they were playing one game, and Krishna was playing the role of police constable. At that time, one very, very powerful demon of the name Vyomasura, by his great mystic power, He changed his form to appear to be one of the cowherd boys. And he looked exactly like all the rest of the cowherd boys, to such an extent that the gopas could not detect that it was a demon. They were thinking, here is our friend coming to play with us. Vyomasura took the role of a thief. And as they were playing, Vyomasura was stealing one friend at a time who were playing lambs. And rather than just tagging them and saying, you're out, now you have to sit and watch the rest of us, he would take them into a mountain where there was a big, large cave. And he would put them in the cave. And then he would take a large rock and seal the front of the cave so no one could escape. Do you know that that very same cave is still present today? If you like, you can go. In Vrindavan, there are 12 forests. One of the forests is called Kamvan. And just about a half-hour walk from Kamvan is a mountain. And in that mountain is a large cave. And that is the very cave that Vyomasura was imprisoning the cowherd boys. Recently, I went to visit that cave. And while I was sitting in that cave, I was reflecting upon how this Vyomasura, the reason he was able to put the cowherd boys in such a dark condition, because that cave obviously was pitch dark. Darkness means ignorance. And they were entrapped in that ignorance. The reason why they were put in that situation is they trusted an enemy to be their friend. If they knew he was a demon, they wouldn't play with him. And then there would be no problem, no trouble whatsoever. But they trusted this person as a friend. And thus, they opened their lives to be vulnerable to his envious and nefarious motives. So soon, practically all the cowherd boys were imprisoned helplessly in this dark cave. And gradually, Krishna began to realize by his lila that all his friends were missing. He could understand that this demon was stealing his friends away. Try to understand that we are all, by nature, Krishna's friends. We are all originally residents of the spiritual world, either Vaikuntha or Goloka Vrindavan. We are all the playmates of Lord Sri Krishna, his loving companions. How is it that now we are in this dark cave of the ignorance of material existence? It is simply because we trusted our minds, possessed by the enemy of our own speculations, to be our friend. This is, in essence, our predicament. But Krishna is very merciful. When he saw his friends in a helpless and hopeless condition, and he heard their prayers, he went to that great demon. was still in the guise of a friend and playing just his very role in the game as his police constable. It was his duty to catch the thief. So he caught the thief. Aha. So Vyomasura, he became very afraid. Because he knew that he was facing God, the Almighty. And therefore, he was very anxious to escape by any means. So you know what he did? First he tried to run, but Krishna grabbed him very hard. And then he began to expand himself into a huge form like a mountain, thinking that he would break away. But Krishna would not let him break away. You see, he was exposed. Similarly, when the enemy of the mind is exposed before God, it's not that he just humbly surrenders and says, oh, Krishna, now you know who I am, I surrender. No. The first thing the mind will do, in the same spirit as Vyomasura, it will try by hook, by crook, by any means to avoid surrendering. When the mind is undetected, when the enemy of the mind is undetected, it simply causes havoc in your life and keeps you stored in the dark cave of the ignorance of material existence. But when it actually is detected, when somebody points out, you are in Maya. Huh? No, not me. Impossible. You're wrong. You're misunderstanding. Lack of communication here, I'm afraid. Huh? Huh? Sometimes we all think like that. Admit it! Everyone thinks like that. There is a verse that says, the greatest person is a person who's willing to admit his mistakes and admit his weaknesses. The fact is, Arjuna was weak and victimized as long as he thought he knew what was right. Because he was surrendering to the enemy of his mind. Arjuna's greatest strength, which allowed him to be empowered by the complete mercy of the Lord, was he humbled himself. My Lord, I have so many good arguments, I have so much logic and reasoning to prove my point, but all my logic, all my reasonings, all my philosophy is simply making me a victim of Maya. When we are put in a situation where it is exposed that we are acting independent of Krishna, and Krishna's order is there to surrender, immediately we start becoming big like a mountain to escape. Huh? Our false ego becomes big like a mountain to try to give us excuses and justifications to escape from Krishna. So this is just what Vyomasura did. But Krishna, he is very expert at killing demons. He took that demon and he threw him to the ground so hard that he smashed every part of his body and the demon died. And all the demigods and all the great sages began to glorify Krishna and throw flowers upon him and chant his holy names. And then, after the demon was killed, he removed that large rock and released his friends. And then they came out back into the light back into the spiritual world of Vrindavan to enjoy transcendental pastimes with the Lord. Huh? Krishna is the only one that can kill the demon of the mind. But we have to allow Krishna to take control of our life. Unless we call out his holy name, unless we accept his instruction, unless we accept the mercy of Guru and Sadhu, then we do not allow Krishna into our life. Then we remain birth after birth after birth imprisoned in the dark cave of ignorance due to surrendering to the enemy of our mind, who we are so intimately embracing as our friend. But if we understand and detect the true nature of this enemy mind, and we cry out for Krishna, we cry out his holy name, we are willing to accept his will as our will, then even though our mind, in the process of devotional service, in the process of surrendering, our mind will start growing and shrinking and fighting and running, huh? But as long as you keep the mind in the arms of Krishna, that mind is going to be slayed in due course of time. And then, by the grace of God, Lord Sri Krishna, he will release us from the darkness of ignorance of the cave of our own material illusions, attachments, and opinions. And we will come out into the light of the spiritual world. And then again, we can resume our natural, healthy condition as being the intimate playmates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yato yato nishchalati manaschanchalam astatam tatastatam niyamyaitadatmanyena basham nayet. Whenever and wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. How do we do that? It is a very simple process. By simply accepting the advanced words of the spiritual master and the scripture, and putting aside, as Arjuna did, our own speculations, our own opinions, our own ideas. And by keeping our mind fixed on Krishna, by hearing his glories and chanting his holy names. It is very simple. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in essence, taught us only this. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Satya Kabu Noi Sravanadi Sudhi Cheti Koriya Yuto. That pure love of God is within the heart of every living being. Simply, you always chant his holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Ram Ram, Hari Hari, and you allow your life not to be directed by the enemy of your mind, but to be directed by Guru. That's all that is required. To always chant the holy names and allow our mind and our life to be directed by the Guru. It's so simple, but we make it so hard. Why? I don't know why. The reason why we make it so hard is our own unwillingness. The reason why it's so hard is because we are unwilling to give up our intimate friendship with the enemy of our mind. We're still putting our trust in Vyomasura. Huh? And therefore, we're feeling quite comfortable in this dark cave of ignorance, thinking, if this is where my friend wants me, this must be the best place for me. Simply follow Krishna's direction through the spiritual master, and chant his names, and it is Krishna's guarantee. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyajim namaskuru mami vaishasi satyam te prati jani priyoshime. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage unto me. In this way you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my dear friend. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? You see, even when Vyomasura was detected, he became very mad. He had so many mystical tricks to try to escape. Huh? So similarly, even when your mind is detected to be in Maya, it will find so many excuses. It will do anything it can to escape surrendering to Krishna, escape being slayed by Krishna. If Krishna let Vyomasura go, Vyomasura would have just continued on with his notorious activities. But because he couldn't get away from Krishna, he was slayed. So if we really know that our mind is our enemy, we have to keep our mind constantly under the control of Krishna. We cannot let it escape from Krishna for a second. That is why it is said, yato yato nischalati manas chanchalam astaram tatastatam nayam yaitad atman yena vashamye. Whenever and wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must drag it back under the control of the self. What does that mean? To keep it fixed on Krishna, somehow or other. Tani saravani samyasya yukta asita matpara vasehi asyandriyani tasya pragya pratishtita. An intelligent man is one who restrains his senses and keeps his consciousness fixed on Krishna. If you let it go, it will cause havoc. Krishna will slay the enemy of your mind if you simply keep your mind in Krishna's arms, under his control. That means to always chant his holy names. That means to always be living according to his will. That is what I am saying. Very simple. Always chant Hare Krishna. Guide your life according to the will of Guru. That is all that is required. But if you are not willing to do that, that means you are allowing the enemy of your mind freedom to take charge of your life. And you will remain in the dark cave of ignorance forever. Yes?
It's been told that once the mind is surrendered, we get peace of mind because we are completely surrendering to Krishna, so whatever at his will, we are doing it. But mind is so fluctuating, it is the chanchal as such. So, how to fix the mind forever? It becomes so much, today my mind is surrendered, but tomorrow it won't be. Due to all the maya all over here, it might be so that it will not be surrendered in the same proportion forever as such. How to keep it in the same proportion and that is forever.
Kirtaniya Sada Hari. By always chanting the holy names. That is the only means. Om Pavitra Pavitro Va Sarvavastam Gatopi Va Yasmaret Pundarikaksam Sabayabhyantara Suchi. Whether one is purified or unpurified, one who remembers the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has beautiful lotus eyes, is purified from within and without. Your mind is impure, but because Krishna is all pure, if you keep your mind in contact with the all pure, your mind will become purified. Huh? If we allow our mind to associate with the modes of material nature, it will get further impure. But if we associate our mind with Krishna, it will become ever increasingly pure. So the process of controlling the mind is to simply keep it fixed on Krishna. Then it becomes purified by the all pure. It is the only means. How do we keep it fixed on Krishna? The easiest process is chanting his holy names, hearing his glories, always rendering service to him. There are 9 processes of devotional service which are meant to keep our mind always fixed on Krishna. And whenever the mind wanders, we have to, again, by our free will, put it with Krishna, associate it with Krishna. Then gradually it becomes purified. Huh? The pure mind is our best friend because it is one with Krishna, one with the will of Krishna. Krishna told Arjuna, by constant practice and detachment, it is possible. Arjuna said, the mind is more difficult to control than the raging wind. Can you control the wind? Tell me, can you control the wind? The mind is more difficult than controlling the wind. So can you control your mind? But it is said, out of fear of Krishna, the wind blows. Huh? And out of fear of Krishna, the wind stops blowing. For Krishna to control the wind, is that any difficulty? Similarly, for Krishna to control your mind, is it any difficulty? So we have to, by constant practice and detachment, keep our mind fixed on Krishna. Constant practice and detachment means that Krishna sees that we are genuinely, honestly, and sincerely trying. Huh? This is the essence. You cannot control your mind, ever. You are a jivatma. And your mind is being empowered by the all-devouring force of Maya. Huh? You cannot control your mind. But you know the story of the sparrow? The sparrow laid her eggs on the beach in the sand. And the ocean, the tide came up and took the eggs away. Huh? So the sparrow said, give me my eggs back, ocean. Huh? You know how big the ocean is? You know how little the sparrow is? You think the ocean was scared of the sparrow? The ocean just laughed. Forget you, sparrow. Why should I waste my time with you? So the sparrow, by constant practice and detachment, made a vow, I am going to dry up the ocean unless you give that eggs back. Do you think the ocean took it seriously? But because the bird, the little tiny sparrow, is the child of Garuda, the king of the birds, by the bird's determination and sincere desire, that little sparrow attracted the power of Garuda. And then Garuda came down and said to the ocean, if you don't give me those eggs, I will dry you up. And the ocean knew that Garuda could do it within minutes and immediately came with the eggs. Huh? The fact is, for you to try to control your mind, you have the same chances as a sparrow drying up the ocean. Your only hope is that you have to try. With faith that if you are sincere and honest, Krishna will take the task upon himself to conquer your mind. Huh? That is why Krishna tells Arjuna, yes, the mind is more difficult than controlling your own, but by constant practice and attachment, you can attract my mercy. And then I will come. Sarvopadiva niramuktam tatparatvina niramalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktaruchyate. Krishna's Rishikesh, the Lord and Master of the mind and the senses. If we sincerely, honestly attempt to our capacity, what is Krishna's promise? Ananyas chintayantomam yejana pariyupashate tesham nityabhayuktomam yogakshemam bahamyam. That if you surrender sincerely, I will preserve what you have and carry what you lack. If we sincerely attempt to chant our rounds and keep our mind on Krishna, even though our mind is flying in every direction away from the holy name, if we sincerely make that effort to keep it fixed on Krishna, then in due course of time, when Krishna sees we are really serious, he will purify the mind of all of its enemies. And he will establish himself on the throne of our heart. And then we will find real peace, real happiness, as the loving servant of the Lord. Does that answer your question? Therefore, Srila Prabhupada would constantly plead with us, be sincere. Take this process seriously. Because without sincerity, you'll never attract Krishna. And without his causeless mercy, we have no hope against Maya. Bhakti is not an ascending process. Bhakti is by acting in a devotional manner with humility and sincerity, with the hope that we will attract the supreme mercy of Krishna, which is our only hope of release from the dark, deep cave of ignorance. Huh? Is there any other questions? Yes. Krishna says by constant practice and detachment. Bhogai swarya prasakta nam daya parita chetasyam yavashayatmaka budhir samadho nabadiyate. For those who are too much attached to material opulence and sense gratification, the resolute determination for devotional service cannot take place. That is why Krishna says, by constant practice and detachment. You have to detach yourself from material opulence and sense gratification. Otherwise, the resolute determination to constantly practice cannot take place. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was asked the exact same question as Mahaprabhu is asking today. Huh? Is everyone awake? This means you. Because we are all in this boat. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained when they asked, how is it that we're engaging in our spiritual activities, we're doing our sadhana, we're chanting our rounds, we're coming to lectures, but still it doesn't seem like we're making progress. And he told a story about a marriage procession, where the groom's party was going to the village of the bride, but they had to cross a wide river, and they had to get there first thing in the morning for the wedding ceremony. So they arrived at the river at night, and they went to the boatman, and they all boarded the boat. They said, "Please get us to the other side." He said, "Don't worry, I know this river very well. You get a good night's sleep, go to sleep, and I will row, and I will get you there by first thing in the morning." So they all went to sleep. So the river boatman began to row, and he rowed, and he rowed, and it was dark out. It was night, and he was rowing, and he was working so hard all night, struggling, striving to get there on time. And then the light of day, at the time of dawn, came into being, and everyone woke up, and they looked around, and they were in the exact same place they were when they boarded the boat the night before.